I hate to begin with an apology, but you're all aware, I'm sure, of the writer's strike, so this sermon is going to be a repeat of... It affects every industry. So as you know, Jacob steals his brother's blessing. And then Esau comes and pathetically begs his father for a blessing. Don't you have a blessing for me as well? And Isaac also blesses Esau, which tells you, initially, every child gets different blessings. But then, Jacob learns that his parents, his mother, but both his parents really, don't want him to marry a Canaanite. Now, by the way, it's an interesting question why they don't want him to marry a Canaanite. I mean, everybody's an idolater, right? It's not like you can go to the next county, find a few Jews. There are idolaters here and there are idolaters there. So why is it that his parents don't want him to marry the idolaters who are close? And Samson Raphael Hirsch has a beautiful and wonderful answer. He says he's afraid that if he marries the idolaters who live in that area and in that neighborhood, that he will be assimilated to them. But if you bring someone from a faraway culture into the Jewish world, there is a chance that that person will be assimilated to the Jewish world. And so, Yaakov has to leave home, not only because his brother bears a grudge, but also because he needs to bring someone back to his parents' home, to bring them into the Jewish fold. But here's what's interesting. When Esau discovers that his parents don't want his brother to marry a Canaanite, he says, you know what, I won't marry a Canaanite either. Which tells us something else. That even though our blessings differ, our values don't. Each child has different abilities and deserves different blessings. But each child ought to get the same values. And too often, we confuse our blessings with our values. And we ought to make them distinct and make it clear to our children the way in which they are distinct. So, for example, individuality is a great blessing. Each person can be, out of the recognition of the modern age that we all have different gifts and blessings and abilities, each person can realize them in a different way. Community is the value. And we live in an age which actually simulates community, but doesn't always create it. We forget when people talk about a virtual community, that means it's not a real one. That's what the word virtual means. Come create a virtual community, we're told 1,000 times a day on the internet. That's another way of saying you don't actually have to have the friction and difficulty of dealing with other people. Look at the screen and be a community. But that's not a community. And we miss the value of community if we only emphasize to ourselves and our children the blessing of individuality. We need each other. We need each other in two ways, in terms of what we can give and in terms of what we need. A self-made man, said Twain, is as likely as a self-laid egg. There are others who make us what we are, even if we choose to disregard it. The buildings we live in, the country we enjoy, the streets, the lights, the books, the computers, the messages, they were all created by someone else. We need community. We need each other. That is how we move through the world. And I fear that too often, In teaching our children, you have to be who you are, and no one else can tell you who to be. And you have to move through this world as the captain of your soul. We forget to tell them, and by the way, you need other people, and they need you. And as a people that was built from the beginning, as a people, don't be seduced into the false idea that you can exist in isolation from other hearts and other hands. We have the blessing of America, and it is an enormous and unprecedented blessing. And nobody who has any sense whatsoever of Jewish history can do other than kneel down and kiss the ground of this country for what it has meant to the Jewish people. But if it erases the value of Israel, then we allow our blessing to destroy one of our greatest values. We are far away here geographically, and sometimes that means that we feel far away emotionally. But as true as it is to say that this is our land, that is our land. And if we don't train our children to that value as well as this blessing, then we have cut them off from their history and impoverished them. And just like community, it is not only because Israel needs us. It's because we need Israel. It is, after all, the reservoir of our history, and also, in so many ways, the treasure house of our dreams. It is not only our covenant with history, but our covenant with destiny that ties us to that land. And there are many Jews who don't know it until they have the experience of being in Israel. So we have to take the blessings that we have to create the value that is ours by sending our children, all of them, to Israel. This is part of a program that we hope to create here through the Israel Center, which would enable us to send every bar mitzvah kid, everyone, on a trip to Israel, because we want to show them that this is our value, and we are so extravagantly blessed in so many ways that not to use it to foster what it is that we treasure and what it is that we believe in is to traduce, to betray, to turn our back on the blessings we've been given. And the greatest blessing in many ways are the very goods that are showered on us by virtue of living in the 21st century in America, in Los Angeles. And by goods, I don't just mean the car you drive and the home you live in, the air conditioning and the lights. I mean the medicines that save us, the things that make it possible for us to lead a longer, healthier, better life than was dreamed of in the most extravagant imaginings of our ancestors. In the last 100-150 years, what we call under the umbrella the quality of life, which means all the things that make it possible for us to exist as physical organisms, all of that has gotten immeasurably better, for which we should be grateful. But the illusion of materialism comes with materialism. What you see is so overwhelming that it is easy to believe that what you see is what there is. And so we all believe in genes and in atoms, and in the manipulation of chromosomes for medical purposes, and all the things that science and materialism have brought us because we see it. And it is easy to be seduced into believing that only that which you see is real. But remember that Judaism came into the world to announce that the greatest reality is the reality you cannot see. That the intangible world, that the world of spirit is ultimately greater than the world of sense. And that the value should guide the blessing. So, your values should guide who your children admire. It's true. You can be extraordinarily successful in this society by accumulating material, by being famous, by appearing on television, by being in movies, by being rich. But we are, after all, bearers of a spiritual message in this world, and we're supposed to be proclaiming not blessings but values. And who you esteem, and who you admire, and who you read about, and who you care about, and who you talk about at the dinner table, that's who your children will care about too. Don't think that you can spend your time concentrating on the deeds and misdeeds and further misdeeds and ridiculous misdeeds of celebrities all around you and not have your children believe that those are the people they should care about and they should pay attention to. As long as you live only in the realm of what you see, you will not be teaching the reality of God, that which you cannot see, but which is, after all, the author of all that is seen. Esau is no hero in the Jewish tradition, as you may well know, but he understood intuitively his parents' values. Because Isaac and Rebecca wanted something for their children, not just for their child. And so even though they recognized that these are two different children with two different blessings, they transmitted to both of them what it is they cared about in this world. Ironically, as the blessings accumulate, the values grow more difficult. It is easier to tell your child, "I can't," than "I won't." If your child comes home and wants the latest electronic toy, if you can't afford it, you've got an easy answer. But unfortunately, we can. I know, fortunately we can. But unfortunately, too many of us do. Instead of saying, "This isn't what you need. This isn't what you should be spending time on. That isn't what I need to get for you." It's all about blessings and values. We are remarkably lucky to live in a place where we get to translate our blessings into values. But we are at times remarkably lax in that translation. Rabbi Shlomo Eiger was a famous rabbi of some 200 years ago, and his son, Rabbi Leibel Eiger, to his dismay, decided that he was going to go off and study with the Kotzker Rebbe, who was in his time a very controversial figure. And he watched his son go off and study with the Rebbe, and after a period of study, his son came home. And his father said to him, "Okay, so you went, you studied with the guy, what did you learn?" He said, "I learned three things at Kotzk that will sustain me for the rest of my life. The first thing I learned is that people are people and angels are angels. In other words, every person is flawed, riven, split, struggling. We're not angels, and we never will be. The second thing I learned, he said, is that when they want to, people can rise above the level of angels. But they have to want to. And the third thing I learned is Bereshit bara Elohim. God made the beginning. But it's up to human beings to complete things themselves. In other words, in Kautsky, he learned a lesson of responsibility, of values, of self-transcendence. We could do worse than take ourselves metaphorically to the little village of Kautsk and bring those lessons home to our families, as Rabbi Lavel Eiger did to his. And then we will discover that our blessings, when combined with our values, are blessings indeed, and they are such that will sustain us and enable us, as Yaakov did, to turn from individuals, from Jacob, to a people, to Israel. Ken yehi ratzon. So may it be God's will, and so may it be our task, our dream, and ultimately our accomplishment.